J7. The Education of the Future in the Light of Christian Science. Number 1A.
All right, so we want to begin and again be happy that we can be in such a wonderful place in Portland. I think already we're enjoying it, aren't we? It's a beautiful, beautiful area, and as I said last year, it is full of promise. Now, what I would like to do is, on the overhead projector, just project on the screen my notes that I will be speaking from today. And what I think is wonderful is we have the opportunity, almost an exact year ago, we came for the first time here and presented the conference on May 5th, this exact weekend. And that conference was entitled Theocracy, Self-Government Under the Mediate Direction of the Laws of God. And there we asked ourselves, what are those laws of God that constitute the self-governing of the universe? Because Mrs. Eddy says quite clearly that God, in governing himself, governs the universe, including man. But how does he do that? Well, God is governing us according to the laws of life, truth, and love. Now, that's where Mrs. Eddy says in that chapter, Science, Theology, and Medicine, that in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or the divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. So these laws of life, truth, and love are ever-present, and they're the big point of the subject of Mrs. Eddy's discovery. She wanted to put the sixth chapter first, because this is the big revelation, was that she discovered in being these self-operating, self-regulating, self-organizing, error-preventing, error-correcting laws of God, the divinely cybernetic laws of being, self-operative laws that operate by themselves. We don't have to set those laws in operation. God is doing its job. Our job only is to respond to the laws with intelligence. Because, as we saw last year, that God is a principle. That's how Mrs. Eddy defines God. God is a principle. And when we look up the meaning of principle, we see that principle means that fundamental truth or the comprehensive law, which includes all other laws. So God, she defines as a principle, and principle is defined as a law. Well, if God is a law, which includes all other laws, then our method of approaching God is totally different, isn't it, than if God was a person. Approaching laws and principles, we approach those, therefore, with science and understanding, not on blind belief or rituals or doing sacrifices. It doesn't make sense, does it? So our response as man is then to respond intelligently with science and understanding, not with blind belief or faith, but with understanding those laws. So there is a responsibility of man. Mrs. Eddy didn't present to us fatalism. Live, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You see, that's fatalism. That says, oh, well, that these laws of life, truth, and love are going on, I have nothing to do. I have nothing to worry about. This is wonderful. Let's just go out and live life. Well, then our teachings would be no different than the teachings, as I said, in the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, which would be, fine, then, as I said, in that book it says, well, then live, and then drink, be merry, and don't worry about it, tomorrow you die, but it's all taken care of. That's not Christian Science, because through understanding, one changes one perception of reality, and one sees the world totally differently. Now, what we want to see, and I always like to bring this into an introductory conference, is what I'm presenting here is based on the platform of that we're independent of any church organization. Though Mrs. Eddy says, I discovered these laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science, we don't have anything to do with the church of Christian Science, but we're here only with the purpose of discovering what is reality, what are those laws, which will be the first part of our class this morning, and the second part we'll see will be, and how do I become one with those laws? And our only textbook then will be the Bible and Science and Health, because we feel these are our authority, because they're revealed texts. They were written through inspiration, and when one begins to culture consciousness within the new system of reference, one sees how natural revelation is. At first, revelation seems to be abstract and cold and not attainable to the human consciousness. But through the culturing of our consciousness in the system, revelation is an ever-present possibility, working from the mind of Christ, from being itself, which we will see and use often as an example, the Gospel of St. John, showing that as an example. Therefore, what I present is based on the teachings, then, of course, of the Bible, Mary Baker Eddy, in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which we will call the textbook here and there. And of course on John Dorley, who you know as had been a prominent Christian Science practitioner, teacher, lecturer, writer in London, England, who spent the major part of his life after his church experience discovering an insight into the structural method of scientific and text interpretation as he discovered based on the capitalized terms in Christian Science. And then, of course, his student, Max Kappeler, who also we base our work, especially here today, on his lifelong work of building on what John Dorley and Mrs. Eddy gave us, and going on to actually expound for us these laws of life, truth, and love. Really, I would say that it was Kappeler's gift to the world through revelation, reason, and demonstration to really make understandable to us what the self-governing laws of life, truth, and love are. One just can't thank him enough. It's just terrific. And in his book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, especially those laws are defined. So we will continue to talk about these laws. And we saw then last year that these self-regulating laws of life, truth, and love, which are governing the universe, including man, have an impact on world consciousness. And as they are the Christ idea in operation, these laws are the Christ. They are the Savior. They are presenting what true government is to the world. And when, through the Christ operation of these laws, they bring to us what real government is, which is government by the laws of life, truth, and love called theocracy. And that has an impact, which brings the world consciousness then out of the belief of what we will see is a first degree of autocracy, government by a dictator. We certainly saw that happening in the world today, especially in the revolution of 1989, when the world begins now to throw off the dictators in the world and enters more into a world global view of democracy, much more the accent now on government by the people. And we will see then, as we head more into the year 2000, the accent switching from democracy into theocracy, which is then the self-government under the immediate direction of the laws of God. This we based our class on last year, and now this year we will go on, but the book Christian Government, Its Scientific Evolution was the text, as we recall, then for last year. Now this year, what I would like to show is to see then how the same laws of life, truth, and love, the same cybernetic self-organizing laws, God, are educating man. So now we want to see that our conference is based on the theme of education or self-education. how these laws then have an impact on the world, how they are self-educating the world, and we will spend quite a bit of time to see how the Christ idea is doing that, how they do educate us, and cause us to come step by step out of the first degree of what Mrs. Eddy calls mortal mind's ignorance or illusions, causing us to come out of ignorance, which causes illusions concerning reality, into the second degree of the human mind's thinking. But how we'll see the human mind thinks, it thinks in concepts. Thoughts always have to do with concepts. And it thinks either in right concepts or wrong concepts, in evil concepts or in good concepts, according to its system of reference. But we will even see how these laws are taking us out of human thinking. And finally into the third degree of divine mind just knowing. Mind doesn't think, mind knows. And it doesn't have to be educated, Mrs. Eddy tells us. It's already an all-knowing awareness. And this is the mind of Christ that the Bible speaks of, the mind that Jesus had. He already understood the structure of reality and its laws and demonstrated them through his healing. Now this is, as Mrs. Eddy said, Jesus was a natural divine scientist. But to one born of the flesh, it must be a discovery. So we discover that that divine mind, there is another realm beyond the brain. And that realm knows. And that's what we want to be able to attain in our work, is to live and move and have our being in the realm of Allah's infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Quite a terrific realm. It's so different than the human mind standpoint, and it's so different than the mortal mind standpoint. We only live in one reality, but there's different states and stages of perception of that reality, as we're going to be talking about today. It's up to us how we respond to being, and according to the way we live, we can't blame anybody else but our own perception of that reality. So if we would look at our class outline for a moment, and I just want to show then that the first part of the class, the whole class will be under the title then, Can Ye Not Discern the Signs of the Times? This was, of course, what Jesus asked in Matthew. His stern declaration to us really to say, I present to you a challenge to understand these great fundamental categories of God, just what God is. At that time, they always were saying, gosh, even the horses and the donkey and the little asses know their master. But you, Israel, don't understand God. Everyone knows who their master is, but the Israel doesn't understand God. So that's what Jesus is saying. Can you not even discern the signs of the times? So that's why giving such a stern declaration 2,000 years ago, we ask ourselves, do we understand the signs of the times? And what do we go to understand the signs of the times? Do we go to astrology? Do we go to mysticism? Do we go to the husband? Do we go to the wife? Do we go to the newspaper? What do we use as our compass in order to answer Jesus' question? Yes, I understand the signs of the times. The DJ on the radio said it was this. Or my astrologer said the signs of the times. What's a compass that tells us what those signs are? So here we see then, I've put the title under then, The Education of the Future is really self-education under the immediate direction of the laws of God, as we've seen. And this will let us discern what those signs of the times are. So the first half of the class, I'd like to spend then on that big point I mentioned that we base ourselves, the platform on, what is reality? That is really then answering ourselves, what's the principle of reality? What is God? What's the exact letter? Gaining the letter just really knowing exactly what reality is, as taught through Christian Science. And there we will see, as I spend this morning, as I already said, on the self-educating divine system of the laws of life, truth, and love. And this whole first half will be based on the following books by Max Kapler, especially the Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, and then we'll be referring a lot to the epitomes for the Gospel of St. John in the Light of Christian Science, Kapler's whole theme for the Summer School 1990 and his upcoming Summer School 1991. Actually, I advertised that I was here to help us be able to understand what it was John was trying to get across, not teaching the Gospel of John, but being able to see what is the big point that John wants to get across to us. And Max is teaching the subject in these summer schools. This subject for this morning is going to be based on epitomes for the spiritually structured interpretation of the Christian Science textbook, especially pages 1 to 11, the method of working with epitomes. Then this afternoon we come to that big main point we all ask about, is practice. What does that have to do with me? And we should ask that. Anytime somebody says something to us, we should say, so what? So what? So what? So what? So what? So what? What does that have to do with me and my life and my husband and my children and this claim of sickness and that claim of sickness and the world's claim of sickness and all that we hear on the radio? What about that? And often in Christian Science, all we do is go to lectures and hear the letter, the letter, the letter. We hear what the teacher has learned about Christian Science. And we often leave inspired. That is not the purpose of the teachings and not the purpose of Max Kapler's role to the world. He over and over has come to say, I've come not to inspire you with just what is reality. Like Mrs. Eddy says, truth is revealed in the seventh chapter. It needs only to be practiced. We soon find that the letter is easy. Yes, we say to ourselves, I could write the books. All right, we could. But what we find out is difficult is, how do we do it? How do we live what we've read? There it's difficult. The practice is hard. The letter becomes fairly easy after a while. Mrs. Eddy said, it's easy once it's pointed out. But to gain the spirit of spiritual things is what the main point is, and that is method. How do I become one with reality? And Max has given us then this wonderful subject in an order way. Of course, the Bible has it inherent within it. Mrs. Eddy has it inherent in her work. John Dorley certainly had it inherent within his teachings. In Kapler's book, the ordered approach to the one being is actually the text, main text for the subject, the eight ordered steps to our oneness with being. How step by step we throw off the old worldview and put on the new worldview through science and understanding. Also, the text would be an introduction to the science of Christian Science, all these books by Kapler, the seven synonyms for God, compendium for the study of Christian Science, metaphysics and science in Christian Science, and the spiritual breakthrough for the next millennium. Now, if we take then what is reality, our subject, and then see, therefore, to answer that is, it's a question then of education. In order to find out what reality is, we have to be educated to understand what reality is. So, following Jesus' question, can ye not discern the signs of the times, asking for, where is your education, what is your education, can you really discern the signs of the times? Mrs. Eddy posed the same question, but in a different world to our age. She says, is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? And somewhere I have read, she said, and I couldn't find the reference and would hope to later on, she says, and Christian Science must answer this question to the world by the year 2000, or all will be destroyed by fire. That's not so strange, is it? When we have gone through a experience of various recent wars, this claim was very strong that perhaps the world could be destroyed by atomic force by the year 2000. A few months ago, we could have said there's a great possibility. But the Christ is always at work for the benefit of mankind, showing that what looks like something that could turn into a disaster didn't. But she says, is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? And she says, Christian Science must answer that question. So we say, where do we find it, the answer? In the Bible and in the textbook. But especially in a very succinct way, we find this answer in what Mrs. Eddy gives to us on page 468. She asks another question to answer the question. What is the scientific statement of being? And she answers it by saying, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is the immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. So we can already see, is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force, by matter force? She answers it and says, no. Man is not evolved by atomic force or by matter, because matter doesn't exist. She says, the whole universe, including man, is of the nature of spirit, God, not matter. And she says on page 124:20, adhesion, cohesion, and attractions are property of mind. They belong to the divine principle and support that equipoise of thought force which launched the earth into its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. See, she shows therefore in the scientific statement of being, if there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, then what is the universe? She says, all is infinite mind with a capital M, all is God mind and its manifestation and its idea. So the substance of the universe is idea, not matter. And we'll see this very, very clearly the second half when we begin our eight ordered steps to our oneness with being, and how the world even begins to say it's mental. That the construction of the universe is not of matter, but it begins to be a thought construction, a mental construction. Already something that is beginning to be quite a comfortable concept in the world today, the shift from material to the mental concept. But of course, Mrs. Eddy took it on into the spiritual, that it's not just a mental concept, but it's divine mind, all is infinite mind and its manifestation, all is God and its idea, and that idea is the substance of the universe, which is spirit. She says, spirit is the life, substance and continuity of all. We tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to the divine mind, are inherent in this mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. It's beautiful. So simply said, but so big. Therefore, her question, is the universe evolved by atomic force? Christian Science says no, it's evolved by spiritual forces. It's evolved by all is mind and the forces of mind. And as we will see, St. John will show all is, it's all evolved by the divine infinite calculus of spirit.